friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. African football fans are looking forward to this weekend's final round of qualifying matches for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Egypt. After the last fixtures are played on Sunday, we'll know the 24 teams that will compete in Egypt. This year's Nations Cup kicks off on June 21st and goes through July 19th. In one of the big matches on Sunday, Tanzania will host Uganda in Dar es Salaam. The Cranes of Uganda have already booked their ticket to Egypt, but it's must-win for the Taifa Stars of Tanzania. Despite having already qualified for the Nations Cup, Uganda has summoned a strong team to play Tanzania. And Moses Magogo, the head of Federation of Uganda Football Associations, or FUFA, says the Cranes are aiming for 3 points and a victory. Magumi Davis Rakawinge tells us more from the capital, Kampala.
Mogo says it's important for the Uganda Cranes to keep a winning momentum and also in the spirit of sportsmanship to put up a good show against the South African rivals.
For us, this game is a game we want to win. His Excellency, the President of the country, required us that we should win this game, despite that the team had qualified. And we think it is also good sportingly that if Tanzania is going to qualify, then should qualify sportingly by beating us. And if they qualify, we'll congratulate them. But we think we have a team that can pick the result we want.
The Uganda Cranes are on top of Group L with 13 points and have not conceded any goal. What makes Group L exciting is the fact that either team can qualify if they win the weekend's game. Tanzania has 5 points, same as Lesotho. Lesotho, also known as the Swatini, will play against Cape Verde that sits at the bottom of the table with 4 points.
For us, we are preparing already for the finals. So the coach wants to see how best he's going to approach the games in Egypt when we play in June. So it is also an opportunity of some younger players who have not had an opportunity, who are very exciting, that we need to try and give an opportunity and see if they are ready for the big case. So it's a competitive mind, and in sport, you must always make your players fight to win.
Only 9 locally best players in the Cranes squad will play against Tanzania. The Uganda Cranes are currently camping in Egypt and will fly to Dar es Salaam on Saturday. In the related development, FUFA has hired former Ghana youth team coach Samuel Pa Kwesi Fabin to handle the under-17 and the under-20 teams. Kwesi says it is important to train the young lads at a young age if Uganda is to become a soccer powerhouse.
If you want the senior team to be sustained, you need to be able to get these boys from the youth side to the level where they can easily migrate into the senior team.
Magogo says that is exactly Uganda's plan.
We have set our targets to qualify for the World Cup 2026, and we have started with the youth teams. That's why we are recruiting a professional coach with such experience to try and drill the boys to be ready probably for professional ranks and eventually support the team to qualify in 2026. So it's our vision. We could achieve it earlier. 2022, we will compete to achieve it. But to measure our development by 2026 in the US, Mexico, and Canada, we want Uganda to be playing.
For now, Kwesi's immediate target is to guide the under-17 when they play in the AFCON finals in Tanzania later next month. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a big package of African football news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty Thursday greetings to you, Sonny. We begin the review of the top African sports headlines ahead of this weekend's sports event with a look at the final round of the Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, which will run from the 22nd to the 24th of March 2019. 13 teams have already confirmed their participation alongside Egypt, and all will use this international weekend as an opportunity to refine their tactical approach and assess fringe players ahead of future challenges. Former winners Tunisia, Morocco, Algeria, Ivory Coast, Ghana, and Nigeria have all qualified already, although several have endured setbacks en route to the tournament and will be keen to end their campaigns on a high note. For the Super Eagles, the continued absence of captain John Obi Mikel represent an unwanted distraction, while coach Gernot Rau has also finally lost faith in underperforming Leicester City striker Kelechi Iheanacho ahead of the final qualifier with Seychelles on Friday.
It's a possibility for some of the new players to show something also. Already in the training sessions, they must deserve in the training sessions to have a chance to come into the game. So the interesting game of Friday will be to see everybody how they will handle this situation. We are already qualified, but we want to do well and to improve and all the time to be better, to progress. And that's a possibility also, the last possibility before May, end of May, there is no other FIFA window. And that's opportunity for these young players to show again that they deserve also to go to the AFCON.
Senegal, Mali, Guinea, Kenya and Uganda will also be in that hot for April's group stage draw, with Kenya and Uganda entering their final group games against Ghana and Tanzania respectively, without having lost a match or even conceding a goal to date. Kenya's head coach Sebastian Migni is hoping to give fringe players chance to audition.
The deal is with the players to show me their quality. Some of them will have the opportunity to show me their quality. For example, I think Masoud will play. It will be a good opportunity for him to show me if he can compete with Olunga.
Elsewhere, Uganda Cranes coach Sebastian Dasabre has hailed the attitude of the players in camp following the training sessions he has overseen. The Cranes are preparing for the final qualifier against Tanzania on Sunday.
The most important is to finish on the high notes, but I know it's a difficult get for us. Maybe we are motivated, but after we need to also to manage the team to asset is a good opportunity for me during this game.
In Ghana, coach Kwesi Appiah has hailed the attitude of the Black Stars players after their first training session. 21 officially started preparations as they get themselves ready to host the Harambee Stars on Saturday.
Since they came, each and everyone is comporting himself, and if you look at the training session, got to a stage I wanted to close because everyone is proving what he can. And in actual fact, it makes the work difficult for me, but it's good for the nation.
Deputy skipper Andrew Ayew says they will leave nothing to chance as they play to win despite their qualification for the AFCON tournament in Egypt.
I think that every game that we play when you're wearing the Ghana jersey is a very important game. This Black Star jersey is a very heavy jersey to wear. It's not everybody that can wear this jersey. So when you wear it, you are playing to win. Every game is important. So the coach will take the decisions. The players will respect it. And we have to, you know, work together as a team. But the AFCON is far.
Staying with the Ghana Black Stars, Maxwell Konadu has been removed as assistant coach two of the senior national team Black Stars. The decision was communicated to Maxwell Konadu after a meeting with the members of the Ghana Football Association Normalization Committee. Normalization Committee spokesman Daniel Boa says the sacking of the former Ashanti Kotoko manager is part of the reorganization of football management in the country.
On the Black Stars Maxwell Konadu issue, what I can say is that there has been a decision to reshuffle the technical teams of all the national teams. And Maxwell is one of them who has been affected. The reason why we have been quiet is that it's a long list. We want to finish the entire reshuffle process and then we release the list. That's how come we are a bit reluctant in divulging information about who goes where.
Staying with the African Cup of Nations bill for this summer in Egypt, Equatorial Guinea, Sudan, Malawi, South Sudan, Seychelles, Ethiopia, Central African Republic, Rwanda, Botswana, Niger, and Eswatini are all already out of the running, while Sierra Leone were disqualified. The biggest shock so far has been the early elimination of Zambia, unforgettable African Cup of Nations winners, as recently as 2012. And on a more disturbing note, FIFA has banned Togolese referee and football official Koku Hogimion Faglala for life after finding him guilty of corruption. Football's world governing body ruled he accepted bribes to manipulate an unspecified international friendly. He has also been fined $3,000. Staying with football news on the African continent, the remaining 8 teams for the CAF Interclubs 2018-2019 season now know their opponents for the final round. The draws held on Wednesday in the Egyptian capital of Cairo saw the teams being drawn against each other as they journeyed towards the coronation of champions in the two continental club competition nears the finish line. The draw was conducted by CAF Deputy General Secretary Anthony Bafour with assistance of Cameroon legend Patrick Mboma and Egyptian icon Ahmad Motoeb. In the Total CAF Champions League, defending champions Esperance of Tunisia will play Algeria's CS Constantine, who have never been on this stage before in the quarterfinals of the African Champions League. In the other fixtures, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa will face Al Ahly of Egypt, while Wydad Casablanca Club of Morocco will square it out with Horoya of Guinea. Simba of Tanzania will face TP Mazembe of DR Congo. Jerry Udo is a sports journalist who has followed the African club competition for over 20 years.
If I were to go by pedigree, the likes of Esperance, TP Mazembe, Mamelodi Sundowns have an edge because they have the continental experience. They've won the title many times before. So if I were to go on pedigree, on paper, the likes of TP Mazembe, Esperance, the Sportif, and Mamelodi Sundowns should be able to make it. The game between Constantine and Esperance, of course, Esperance are favored to make it through. But then football is not played on paper. They're not played on the internet. They are played on the field of play. So depending on how prepared you are, definitely you can make it through. If I have to have my pick, the four teams I should expect to make it through to the last round are Esperance, the Sportif, Al Ahly of Egypt, Wydad Casablanca, and TP Mazembe. Those four should be able to make it to the last four of the competition.
In the Total CAF Confederations Cup, Moroccan and Tunisian clubs dodged each other in the CAF Confederations Cup quarterfinals draw. Gomahia of Kenya need to perform better away from Nairobi if they hope to overcome Renaissance Bakene of Morocco, whose stars include Togolese striker Kojo Fodo Laba. Ekana of Zambia will face CS Faxien in the other fixtures, while Etoile du Sahel will welcome El Hilal of Sudan, while Hassania Agadir of Morocco will play host to Zamalek of Egypt in the first round. Once again, Jeru Udo and David King, both sports journalists, reflect on the chances of the teams to progress to the semis.
If you ask me my take, I'll see CS Faxien, Etoile du Sahel, Zamalek and Gomahia of Kenya are four of them making it through to the semifinal of the second tier competition in the African continent.
I think the North Africans will continue to dominate. They seem more serious about club football on the continent. Maybe if you include the Southern African teams, especially from DR Congo. They may not be too good at the national level, but at club level, they've been able to hold their own. They have some clubs that can push for this trophy, but the North Africans will always come out victorious.
And that will be all for me, Samson Omale, here in Abuja. It's back to you, Sunny, in Washington, for the rest of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Thanks, Samson. I enjoyed your extra spicy African football package. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. International Boxing Federation welterweight champion Errol Spence recently retained his title at AT&T Stadium near Dallas, Texas, where he scored a unanimous decision victory over fellow American Mickey Garcia. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, says Spence turned in a dominating performance.
Sonny, you can call it all you want, but in the fight game, we call it a few things. We call it a one-sided beatdown. Going into this fight, we all know Mickey had no chance going into the welterweight division. You went in there against the best champion in the welterweight division in Errol Spence. Remember, Mickey Garcia was a lightweight, Sonny. Moving up, he was a blown-up lightweight. There was no way he could bring his power. And I said it, son. If you go back, I told you when Mickey Garcia fought Robert Easter right here in Los Angeles, I told you Mickey Garcia will never fight Richard Comey because I know that Richard Comey will knock him out. Don't let us get carried away by this win for Errol Spence. It was a no-win situation for Errol Spence. Errol Spence did not knock him out. Errol Spence had an easy payday, easy fight, fighting the smaller guy. Errol Spence right now, like people say, is a pound for pound, the best fighter in the world, the best fighter in the welterweight division. We're getting carried away. Mickey Garcia did not do anything. He went in there just to survive. That was not what we call the Mexican-style boxing.
Nnamdi, in the ring after Spence's convincing victory, none other than Manny Pacquiao, the Pac-Man. What does that mean? Spence Pacquiao fight this year?
You really wonder who's really advising Manny Pacquiao, Sonny. Manny Pacquiao walked into that ring and accepted the challenge. And he said Errol Spence is not a big puncher. He can beat Errol Spence. Manny Pacquiao now is talking about fighting Errol Spence in July. You know what's going to happen to Manny Pacquiao? That will be his last fight. Because one, in the fight game, we talk about styles, Sonny. These are two southpaws. Manny Pacquiao is a lefty. Errol Spence is a lefty. It's going to be one ugly fight. Errol Spence is 11 years younger than Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao could find himself really roughed up in that fight. Manny Pacquiao should sit down and wait for the big money with Floyd Mayweather. That is what we want to see. Fighting a youngster who can bang, you may think he can't bang, then you come out of that fight, look like you've just been run over by a diesel, then your legacy is all tainted, you know, Sonny.
Well, it sounds like you don't give Pacquiao much of a chance against Spence.
He has no chance. He has no business even walking into that ring and taking a challenge from a youngster. You know, he can get slapped around by a youngster in the ring. But he'll make money. He'll be banking, you know. But if I was a manager or advisor, I would tell him just take one easy welterweight fight with some welterweight you can beat up or rough up in July. And then sit around and wait for Floyd Mayweather, which can still happen towards the end of the year. And when that happens, then everybody will go to the bank and clean up and laugh. But tangling with a youngster that just fought Mickey Garcia and then think you can just go there and beat him up. Remind you, Sonny, Errol Spence is a tall, lanky, crafty welterweight. In terms of the welterweight division, I rate him above all of them. You have your Sean Porter, who's not a bad welterweight. You have your Keith Thurman, who's a very good undefeated welterweight also. You have your Danny Garcia. That division is loaded with a whole bunch of superstars. But on the top of the food chain is Errol Spence. And he's a calm, cool, strong, young welterweight.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Mueta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. A teenage tennis player from Canada is celebrating her maiden WTA title. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson has that story, as well as a report on the magical Kenya Open Golf Tournament. And Jim begins his package with the tennis player nicknamed BB.
Crazy. Crazy is the word of the tournament for me.
A crazy win for 18-year-old Canadian Bianca Andreescu, the first wildcard entry ever to win the BNP Paribas Open in Indian Wells, California, and also the first title of her young career. Andreescu toppled three-time Grand Slam champion and former world number one Angelique Kerber of Germany in the final, 6-4, 3-6, 6-4.
Nothing can distract me. I'm relaxed. I trust myself. I trust my shots. I feel confident. And in those moments, I try to breathe as much as I can as well to get into the zone. And that's what I do usually before the match. In this past tournament, it's definitely helped.
Kerber was impressed how well Andreescu stayed in her zone to come from behind.
I was again a little bit too short, but yeah, she was going for it because that was only her chance to coming back again in the game. And she did a good job then at the end, especially the last three games.
Kerber, even as a runner-up, is happy to find she is playing better than she expected.
I was not expecting 2 weeks ago to playing here the finals, especially after the last few weeks where I was a little bit struggling. So that's why I'm happy about this tournament, and that gives me a lot of confidence also to day the match. It was a good one. I know that I have still a few things to learn and to doing better the next time.
Kerber has been in 29 finals, Andreescu just two. And she's in good company as the youngest to win at Indian Wells since Serena Williams 2 years before Andreescu was born. The young Canadian definitely wanted to hold on to the winning feeling, perhaps for future use.
I don't really want to focus on the future right now. I just want to enjoy this moment because I don't want to take anything for granted. You never know what next week brings, so I just want to savor this.
While savoring her big win, Andreescu knows how she will approach her future play.
If I go out there and play my best, then I have no pressure. I think it's the only pressure that comes to me is the pressure I put on myself. I try not to think about the press, the fans, and anything. So if I just focus on myself, then it's all that matters for me.
On the men's side,
what makes me happy that I turned a pretty bad start to the season to a very good one. I'm back in the top 8 in the race. I'm 4 in the rankings, which is my best ranking. So I turned it from really bad into really good. I try to keep that momentum and try to keep that up because the title is of course amazing and it will stay there forever.
25-year-old Austrian Dominic Thiem topped 37-year-old Roger Federer of Switzerland 3-6, 6-3, 7-5 to earn his first Masters 1000 event trophy and first win over Federer on the hard court.
For all of us younger players, it's really a privilege to still be able to compete with him and to play against him in the finals of big tournaments like this one.
Thiem says facing the top players makes him a better player.
With every match against somebody like him, I can learn a lot of stuff. I mean, the way he was playing in the first set was unreal. I had to get used to it, and that's why it's so nice, and that's why I hope and we all hope that he continues for quite a while still.
Like Kerber, Federer was impressed by his much younger opponent.
Credit to him for fighting through that 2-1 game, I believe it was, 1-1 game, to go 2-1 down or up, and he was able to save that and then break and then getting the lead. I think that was a really important sort of 5 minutes, you know, in the match is crucial. I think I must have made some mistakes the way I was going to serve him, you know, construct the points, but he definitely did well there.
Federer was aiming for his 101st career win, but is happy that he's feeling well and playing well enough to remain in contention.
Maybe that's why I'm okay with it today, because I felt like I'm actually playing, you know, good tennis. Like in Australia, I wasn't too down on myself because I feel like my game's there, my body's there. And I think when you feel that way, it's not as dramatic. Whereas when you're hurt and things are difficult and you know, that maybe those hurt more, I'm not sure. There's no reason to get down. Plus, there's more to look forward to in Miami. So, I mean, look, things are good for me.
Thiem is also happy he won a genetics victory.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky because I'm pretty fast. And that's a present from my parents, I guess. I mean, you cannot really practice that.
Amazing feeling. I mean, it's incredible. My first win on European Tour.
22-year-old Italian golfer Guido Migliozzi, fresh out of qualifying school and a 3-time winner on the Developmental Alps Tour, now has his first European Tour win at the magical Kenya Open, one shot ahead of playing partner Adrián Arnós of Spain.
Today there was more pressure, and both of us played so-and-so. But he's a nice guy, he's a good player, and it's been great to play with him those 2 days.
Arnós enjoyed having a chance to win.
I love being here, and that's what I was playing for, and happy that I was able to turn it around, and, you know, it's been a lot of fun.
He was reevaluating his swing as the tournament went on. It must have worked. He ended as runner-up.
I don't know, maybe swing, stuff like that, and a couple new swing thoughts kind of clicked, and, you know, just trying to do that over and over.
Migliozzi put on his headphones before the final round to get in the proper mood.
Just listen music to relax and keep calm. And I mean, I think the key this tournament has been calm and keep going shot by shot and stay patient.
And he's ready to take this experience with him as the season continues.
Just keep playing like this and hope to get this sensation more and more. I love pressure and I can't wait to feel it again.
That's Italian golfer Guido Migliozzi, the winner of the magical Kenya Open. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. And that wraps up the March 21st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Mr. Chang. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, I'm Douglas Simpoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists with NASA's OSIRIS-REx mission to the asteroid Bennu have written a number of papers in the journal Nature that outline discoveries made since it began orbiting it on December 31, 2018. Among the findings is that particle plumes were found erupting from the surface of Bennu. While many of the plume particles completely cleared the asteroid, the scientists also report some of the ejected particles orbited Bennu and then fell back to its surface. The studies also reveal that Bennu's surface is much rougher and denser with boulders than expected. This finding is causing the mission team to change its flight and sample collection plans and locate a site that is free from such hazards. In 2020, the OSIRIS-REx will get close to the asteroid's surface, lower a collection instrument, and then gather some material that will get back to Earth in 2023. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
VOA.
Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. VOA.